You're listening to Vatican Radio. Ministers from Europe, North America, Asia and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation are meeting at the United Nations in New York on Thursday to discuss the difficult question of combating religious intolerance. The meeting forms part of an ongoing process to put into practice the goals of a UN Human Rights Council resolution focused on promoting the rights of all people to full religious freedom and expression. Among those spearheading this initiative is Baroness Saida Wasi, Senior Minister for State at the British Foreign Office and Minister for Faith and Communities within the UK. She told me that the protection of the rights of believers is a top personal priority for her.
The issue of freedom of religion and belief as part of my human rights brief, and specifically on combating religious intolerance, is a personal priority for me and has been now for a number of years. And one of the things that I felt was lacking was creating a sense of political will around the world on this issue. I think in the past, unfortunately, this has been seen as a discussion which takes place between the West and the rest of the world. And I wanted to break down that barrier and really find like-minded politicians from around the world who could reach agreement on what were the basic requirements of tolerance within multi-faith societies.
That's not easy to do, though, is it? Because the question of religious intolerance tends to come to the fore only in emergency situations following religiously motivated attacks on believers. How can you harness that political will, perhaps, to address the question as prevention rather than responding to crises?
It's exactly because that situation has existed in the past that I felt that we needed to be much more proactive and really not respond to situations when things had gone wrong, but to create political will and consensus in advance of things going wrong, so that over a period of time we could really patiently and in detail try and unpick some of these quite big discussions and arguments about what the parameters are of religious tolerance. I mean, I would like it to go further. You know, tolerance is, I feel, an incredibly negative word in many ways. It's a baseline view, but I think it should go beyond that into acceptance. And certainly what I found from the Foreign Minister of Canada, the Foreign Minister of Indonesia, the Foreign Minister of Pakistan in the past, you know, ministers from the Secretary General of the OIC, the Foreign Minister of Italy, that around the world there are people who are like-minded and who are prepared to make this a priority.
What kind of practical action are you looking to find amongst these like-minded people?
Well, we already have international agreement in the form of Resolution 1618 at the Human Rights Council. But I feel that it's not enough simply to have agreement, but it's important for states to demonstrate how they're implementing Resolution 1618 and the spirit of 1618 in their home countries. I have a dual role, both as a minister at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, but also a domestic role as Minister for Faith and Communities. And what I felt has been incredibly powerful about the UK's involvement, and I would say to some extent leadership on this issue, is by showing exactly what we're doing in the United Kingdom with our minority communities. And showing rather than just telling, I think, has been a much more powerful way of challenging what are sometimes quite entrenched views. In the United Kingdom, we have a great record of dealing with intolerance. We have legislation which deals with religious hatred and religious intolerance. We have cross-government working on issues around anti-Semitism and now more recently on anti-Muslim hatred. And I think all of those are important examples for us to bring to the table, but also learn from other countries as well.
As you've seen in the UK, though, it's often very difficult to find the right balance between combating intolerance and protecting freedom of speech.
Well, this is always an argument that is put, that somehow one butts up against the other. Conflicting views and conflicting rights have always been part of the human rights discourse. But I think that what we fundamentally believe in the United Kingdom is the protection of individuals. And where an individual is attacked, where an individual feels under threat, then no amount of freedom of speech can justify inciting somebody to attack an individual. We don't protect religion, but we protect followers of religion. And I think that is the the approach that we've adopted, and it's an approach which we like to show other countries as being effective.
You mentioned anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, yet statistics show that Christians are persecuted in over 110 countries around the world today. That's more than any other faith group, yet they often get less attention than followers of other beliefs. Do you think there is a scale of priorities amongst politicians in dealing with intolerance?
There should never be one religious group prioritised over another religious group. Each country needs to look at the state of religious relations within its own nation. What we have found within the United Kingdom is that we have real concern about anti-Semitism and real concern about anti-Muslim hatred. And each country has to therefore look at the way it protects its own minority communities. And what I've said on numerous occasions really is that real interfaith work comes to the fore when you see Muslims speaking out about the attacks against Christians and you see Jews speaking out about the attacks against Muslims. And what we mustn't do is get into a polarized position where the West speaks on behalf of persecuted Christians around the world and the East speaks out against persecuted other communities, Muslims or Jews around the world. And I feel, as a British Muslim, that I don't see those divides. And I feel it's just as important for me to speak out about anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim hatred as it is for me to speak about the persecution of Christians around the world. And I've done that regularly. And we in the United Kingdom have done that regularly. Because ultimately, what we believe is that you protect a person's right to have a belief or not to have a belief or to change their belief rather than individual religions.
What else would you like to see the churches doing, for example, to try and support these views? As a politician, what is your appeal to church and other religious leaders?
Well, we have an incredibly long and strong record in the United Kingdom of faith communities working together. At a government level, we have a strong relationship both with the Catholic Church and the Church of England, as we do with the Chief Rabbi's Office and with the British Muslim community. But I think interfaith work has to go beyond dialogue. It has to manifest itself in the form of interfaith work. And I think when communities don't just tolerate each other, but work alongside each other, resolving what are usually community challenges for all in that community, that's when we see a genuine understanding being created. In the United Kingdom, we've seen the role of the Church of England and its network across the country and its responsibility to all parishioners as an incredibly positive thing. And government has supported and indeed funded the Church of England to lead on interfaith work. And therefore, it does have a very unique role to play. But I also think that in other countries where other religions may be the prominent, dominant, and the majority religion, they too have a responsibility to reach out and lead on interfaith work.
There does seem to be a growing awareness of this interfaith work and the importance of it. And yet, we saw again this week scores of Christians blown up as they were leaving a church in Pakistan, with the Islamic militant groups apparently saying they were in response for US drone strikes in Pakistan. How can you stop terrorists confusing or exploiting religion for political purposes?
I personally find this concept of collective punishment appalling. I personally find holding a community responsible for the actions of other individuals deeply disturbing. And I think it is the role of faith communities, faith leaders and politicians to stand up and condemn that. I've been heartened by the response from the Pakistani government. I indeed spoke out about it at the time, but I think it's important that the Pakistani government too have spoken out about this. But Pakistan will be taking part in the politicians' meeting that I'll be having at the United Nations this week on freedom of religion and belief. I think they are an important country and have an important role to play in this discussion.
My thanks there to Baroness Saida Wasi, Senior Minister for State at the British Foreign and Commonwealth Office and Minister for Faith and Communities in the UK.